Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Hi, Bob Bertog from the Bertog Landscape Company. How are you, sir?
Doing well, John. How are you this week?
Pretty good. Did you get hammered up there in the Wheeling area with the storms last night?
You know, it was hit or miss. I talked to some people at work this morning. They said they didn't get much at all. And up by my house in Glenview, we had a ton of rain.
Yeah. And
so it was the
hail
all over the place.
Hitting the roof where I was last night. Bam, 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 like that, you know?
Yeah. And I thought it was supposed to clear all this humidity out, but it's still pretty humid, hot today. So I guess that's going away this weekend, though, which is good for everybody.
Yeah, it does look good. I haven't been outside, but it was better this morning when I walked outside compared to Tuesday. But Tuesday we saw a record high, 99 degrees. Never has it been that warm in Chicago on that date, 99.
Pretty impressive.
Yeah, so I don't know, Bob, before we take some calls, what are you thinking about in general about how we're handling our lawn and landscaping?
Well, actually, I had two calls this morning. People called about their hydrangea, and they're just torched. The leaves are completely curled over and torched, and I went and looked at them. The good news is I scratched the bark, and behind the bark, there's still nice green color behind it. So it looks like it's just heat stress because the flowers are still intact. It's just completely defoliated, and I do know a lot of plants in landscape, that's a natural defense mechanism for the plant is to just shed its leaves. So it doesn't have to feed them anymore, and it's protecting itself. So I would say if you see wilted hydrangea, make sure they get enough water, and definitely consider fertilizing them in the fall because they're stressed out. So they're going to want that extra punch of nutrients.
I think a peonies flower or bush is so pretty when it's in flower, but afterwards, before and after, it's not much to look at. And in fact, mine now has kind of a ugly, rusty brown color all over it. It looks dead. I don't think it is. I wonder if that's some fungus or something on it, you know?
Did you say a peony bush?
Yeah, uh-huh.
Yeah, those are starting to fade now. Keep in mind, everything opened up early this spring, so I wouldn't be surprised to see an early fall.
Hey, Bob, we received 1 inch of rain in Bensonville last night. It may have just saved my lawn, says listener Mike. I was wondering about that, too. I wonder if this is going to recharge my lawn and I'll get a little more green grass because it was on the edge of going brown last week.
It may, but odds are that it rained so hard, so fast, most of it just ran off into the sewers. Because the ground, it hasn't rained that much. We're about an inch and a half, a little more than an inch and a half, but we're below where we should be for the month. So these lawns have been sitting there starting to go dormant. And as they go dormant, the soil gets harder and compacted. So when you get rain that comes down that fast, it usually just runs off, unfortunately.
Now, is this a good time to water, though? At least it's kind of primed. It's primed the surface. It might be easier to take in a good sprinkler now, right?
Absolutely. Don't assume that 1 inch was – that doesn't count for your 1 inch total for the week because it's, like I said, when it comes down just as fast as it did, you want that the best rainfall you want or the best type of sprinkler you want is the one that simulates rain that where it's like a cloudy, slow, rainy day all day.
Yeah,
and it's just those are the best for your landscapes.
We don't get those so much anymore.
Should
we
get don't.
An inch of rain or water a week? Is that what you said?
Inch and a half. Yeah, inch to an inch and a half a week.
And you said put a pie tin out there or something like that if you're sprinkling or something and just see if it measures up to an inch and a half, if at least you're watering it, right?
Yeah, most of your pie tins, the aluminum ones, are usually about 2 inches, so you can mark it, you can measure it if you want, but the best way, yeah, just put it right out in the middle of your lawn and water for an hour, see how much it is, and then adjust accordingly.
Please ask Bob the landscaper, that would be you. I have a concrete bird bath in the center of a beautiful hosta garden. Do you know of any kind of cleaner that is not harmful to the plants? The bowl cannot be lifted. It's too much. What should they do, Bob?
There's a product called Wet It and Forget It, which I know works great for mold, and it probably would work very well on the a bird bath like that. And again, read the label, but I'm pretty confident that that's plant friendly. If you get some on your plants, it's not going to hurt them. But I would still read the label. It's called Wet It and Forget It.
Yeah, don't be afraid to ask Lou Manfredini about that too. He on Saturdays talks about that product a lot. He has people spraying it on the side of their houses and stuff like that. And I know Lou knows a little bit about that, but that's a good start.
Yep.
John, please ask about crabgrass. We've got so much. The landscape company says it's from the heat. How can we prevent it or get rid of crabgrass?
Well, crabgrass does love hot, dry soil, so it's a perfect growing condition for it. And the reason that it's so bad this year is because we had those, if you put your product down in the spring, the pre-emergent crabgrass control, then we had all those rains, and we were way over average for rainfall in the spring. Essentially, it just washed that product right through the thatch layer, and then the seeds germinated, and there was no herbicide left to stop them from growing. So you missed the window, obviously the window for the preventative in the spring, but you could still treat it with a post-emergent crabgrass control. There's several of them out on the market, but again, I know that there used to be one that was made for grass, but somebody used Roundup for it, and then that killed all the good stuff too. So again, read the label. Make sure you're reading something that's for crabgrass only.
Really? You can spray that and it doesn't kill the regular grass? It would distinguish between crabgrass and your regular lawn?
Yes. And how it does it, I'm not a scientist, but it does it.
Okay. But you got to make sure you're getting the right one, because if you're doing Roundup, it's going to kill everything. And then you said last week, after you kill the crabgrass, it dies. Hooray. Don't be too eager to pull it out, because you want it to get all the way down, wick down into the roots or whatever. But then you do recommend physically pulling that dead crabgrass out, right?
Yeah, exactly. And just because you're going to give yourself a better seed bed to put in new grass seed, and it's just going to be cleaner and it won't be there. But keep in mind, the crabgrass has already reseeded itself for next year. So don't think you're not going to get it next year. So make sure you get that window in April/May for the pre-emergent crabgrass control, because it's a very prolific seeder and it's got seeds already in the ground for next year.
847 says, ask Bob, please. I have a root from my neighbor's tree sticking up in my yard. Can I chop it out without damaging my neighbor's tree? It's about 6 feet from the tree base.
Couple of things. It depends. One, what type of tree it is, if it'll damage it or not. And legally, yes, you can cut it up to your property line. But then if it is going to kill the tree, is the tree going to fall into your yard? Or are you going to create a friendly neighbor for life if you do hack away at it? So there's a lot of things to consider.
I was just asking Kerry Peck, the attorney, and this isn't his area of specialty, but I said, we got a bunch of big trees in my neighborhood, but none of them are in my yard, but the neighbor's big tree limbs hang over my property line. And I know one of these days, some storm's going to knock one of those things onto my roof. That will be their problem, right? Like, it's my problem, but they or their insurance company have to pay for it, right?
No, you're wrong. If it falls on your roof, even though it's their tree, it's your problem. It's your expense. It's your insurance that'll have to cover it. We've run into this a lot. So be friendly with your neighbors. Maybe it'll be a shared cost.
Huh. Well, maybe they ought to trim their branches back a little bit, because it's bad.
Well, keep in mind, legally, you can trim yours all up to your property line.
Oh, really?
Up as high as you want.
I was thinking about that. I'll just go up and saw their limbs off of my property overhang. I can do that. It's their tree, but I can cut their limbs if they're on my side of the property line?
Technically, that's trespassing, and yes, you can cut it.
Bob,
your tree is trespassing onto your property.
You're sure about this, right?
I'm not an attorney, but I studied it at school. So, yes, I'm pretty sure that I'm correct.
Huh. All right, WGN, we're talking to Bob Bertog. Bob, you ready to take more calls and text messages?
Sure, I'll do my best, John.
I think this is Shirley. You're on WGN. Shirley, what can we do for you?
Actually, it's Cheryl.
Oh, hi, Cheryl.
Go ahead. Hopefully, I'm the right person. All right, so I have recently suffered the total collapse, I would say in the last 5 or 6 weeks, of a large portion of the lawn in my backyard. It's like dead. I've never seen anything like it. The landscaper who's been in charge of my lawn has blamed it on something called chickpea blight, which I don't get that. I had a second opinion, an outfit that just worries about what's wrong and remediating it. They say I have 2 or 3 fungal infections going on, And now to add insult to injury, there is evidence of growth. It's been recommended that I take the lawn out, treat the soil underneath,
wow,
and resod. Now, I'm willing to do that, but I really feel I want another informed opinion about what might have caused this and what I really need or whoever needs to do to treat it.
Okay, hold on, Cheryl. Hold on. We covered a lot of ground there. Let's let Bobby respond. Go ahead, Bob.
There's a lot going on there. For starters, I have not seen grubs present yet, so I would rule the grubs out. And even if they are there, those are easy to kill. So the diseases, I have not heard of the disease. She said some sort of a blight. There are blights out there, but the most prevalent diseases right now that we're seeing all over the place are dollar spot, which just affects the top of the plant, and then there's summer patch, which affects the roots of the plant, and then Pythium blight. Now, if this took over as fast as she said it did, I'm going to place odds that it's Pythium blight. And the way you can distinguish it, it almost looks like a black, oily grass, and it's matted down and flat. And if it's Pythium, that's bad. That needs to be treated ASAP with a fungicide. None of the three, though, will require you to tear up your grass and start over. They're all treatable, and a top dressing and seeding, it's going to be a lot of work, and you're going to have to do some restoration. But to remove and replace, I think, it's an economical windfall for the person telling you to do that.
Well, should a landscaper be held, like if this is the guy that's treating your lawn or putting the fertilizer on and maintaining your lawn, and then your lawn goes south, who should bear the expense of repairing that, Bob?
Well, unfortunately, I wish I could say Mother Nature could, because it's her fault. Because it's really not the landscaper's fault. These diseases just come up overnight. And you have to remember, the spores of these diseases can sit in the soil for years. And it's just that this summer has been the perfect conditions for everything to just be ripe for fungal infections. And I said this before, I think I said it last week, I've been doing this for over 30 years. I've never seen diseases as bad as they are this year.
Every morning you get up and go on your lawn and go, well, I wonder what God created today. And they go, oh, look at that. That's an unusual looking thing coming up in my lawn or my mulch. Right, Bob?
Yeah, exactly. Mold and fungus just so bad this year.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I hope that helps Cheryl. Cheryl, so it's possible.
It validates what I've been told.
Validates what you've been
told.
Thank you. Yeah. Okay. You're welcome. I'm sorry to hear that. But then maybe you do have to dig it all out and start all over again, man. You know what, Bob, though? The mulch around our property, I've got like holes, like somebody went through there with a punch. I'll bet I've got 100. I bet I got 150 of them all around my yard. And I don't know is it a skunk or something that's digging these little holes, little round holes in there?
It could be skunks, but they're usually more damaging. And they're all starting to look for grubs, because it is coming up on grub season here where they're going to be really prevalent. And it's not the grubs that do the damage. It's the skunks, the deer, the raccoons. It's the predators that are digging up the grass to doing all the damage.
Mm.
So it is that time of the year. And if you've had grubs in the past in those areas, there's a pheromone in the soil that these animals seem to come back, and they know that at one point there were grubs there, and they come back and look for them again.
Well, you think they wouldn't notice it through the mulch. They got to go through several inches of mulch to get to the dirt to get to the thing down there if they're going after some critter down there, but I guess they are, huh?
They are, and we all know animals have such a keen sense of smell, too, so who knows?
Rabbits are destroying my coneflowers, and hot sauce is not working. Do you have any ideas, Bob?
There are some rabbit repellents out there that work well. There's sprays, there's granulars. I prefer the granular because the rain won't just wash them away. I've also heard baby powder works well. They don't like the scent of that. And we always recommend using Milorganite, which is the sewage from Milwaukee, Wisconsin.
Mm.
It's turned into a fertilizer, but animals don't like the scent of that either.
Please ask when I put my fall fertilizer down, says 630.
Not until October.
You said a week ago or so that you're just now on step 3 of a 4-step program, right?
Correct. Round 3 should be completed by now, and then round 4 in another 5-6 weeks.
Please ask Bob, we use Grubex this spring, but now we've got molehills. What can we do? Should we Grubex midsummer next year in addition to in the spring?
The timing of Grubex is 100% contingent on the weather that happens after you put it down. If we have a lot of rain, it's going to be the same thing that happened with the pre-emergent crabgrass control. It's going to flush down in through the thatch layer. The grubs are going to come up. They're not going to be interfered with by the insecticide, and they'll do damage. If you see damage now, don't use the GrubX now, though. You want to use a fast-acting insecticide, something similar to Dilox, which will
kill them.
Within a day or two.
But you want to put GrubX down and then hope it doesn't rain? Is that what you're saying?
No, if it's a normal season, it'll be fine. It's just when we had that excess moisture, over 2 inches of extra rain in the spring, it flushed it out very quickly. But GrubX, if used, and again, it's like getting the COVID shot. It doesn't mean you're not going to get COVID. It's just the GrubX could lower the populations of the grubs. It doesn't mean you're not going to get any grubs.
Out of time, Bob. Lots of text messages and some phone calls, too. We'll do this again next week, if you don't mind, sir.
Sounds good. We'll get to them then.